We got a special guest today, Big Rob.
You all right?
Why are you saying like that, man?
Brother don't call me no more. I feel some type of way. I try to call the brother. Brother gonna tell me like he read or somebody. My office hours are from 9 to 5. Brother, you called me at 4:30 in the morning a couple of weeks ago, man. What you talking about? I said 9 to 5 now, brother.
Mickey Wallace is in the building, the one and only Mickey Wallace. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing better than good. I love how Rob can't keep his lies straight. He said I called him, and then I called him at 4 a.m. Which is it, brother? Do I call you or don't?
I said a couple weeks ago.
Whatever. You know I love you. Like, I love you like the daddy that didn't pick up his son, man. I miss you. Come see me sometime. Jerk. And buy me a bike for my birthday.
How you been doing, man? How you been doing, brother?
Man, I'll be lying if I said I was anything other than better than good, PA. It's so much going on in the world, man, that I'm really just working on counting them blessings, Doc. For real.
That's good. What's that behind you, man, the design, before we get into your video? What's that behind you, man?
Oh, man, you know, I had to go ahead and set it off, man. That's the kente cloth, you know? That's authentic right there. I ain't get that from Amazon, baby. That came from the motherland, you know?
Look, I remember when he bought it, he was cutting up the he had it all. He know what I'm talking about. Yeah, this from my grandmama. This from my mama. Yeah, this piece going to be for me. They're going to have to make some dresses or something out of this.
Straight from the motherland. That's what's up, man. Tell us about this video that we about to premiere, man.
Oh, we get right into it. Yeah, no doubt.
I know your schedule. I know how it is with you, bro.
Hey, I carved out time. You know, I knew Rob was going to be here, man. I stopped all my other appointments at 5:30. I knew I had to give him his time. So, I'm available, man. We got time.
He got time. You see, he got his old man sweater on. He ain't combed his hair today. You know what I'm saying? He really trying to do something here, PA, you know? Where the young Mickey at, you know? This fella, this picture you put up, Paul, put that picture up if you can, of the Mickey that we know.
Okay, hold on.
This ain't the Mickey that we know. There you go. That's the Mickey we know.
Yeah.
That's the Mickey you want in all the board meetings right there. You know what I mean? When it comes time to talk with the commissioners and the boards and the clerk and all them folks, that's who you want. When it comes down to doing that work behind the scenes, that's what it look like, baby.
What you trying to do, taper your ends or something?
Man, you know what happened was I was inspired for a minute to just let it go. Mm-hmm. And it got to that stage to where it's just unmanageable. And I scheduled me a haircut about 2 weeks out. I'm going to give it 2 more weeks, see if somebody going to take care of me, and then I'm going to go ahead and let it go.
Well, look, you already done made some barbers mad around the city. Let you know that now. Well, it might be hard.
Yo,
look, Mickey was a every 3-day haircut getting brother.
Yeah. Oh, he was? Right?
Okay. Yeah, he didn't hurt a lot of barbers' pockets.
Oh yeah,
he was paying $25-$30, you know, to make sure his lines was straight and everything.
I pay more than that. I tip my barbers.
See that? Wow, they struggling now. Then
well, he ain't tipping the black ones. Uh-oh. Let's put it that way.
So we gonna get into that video you said,
people. You see how he is now. Look, his back is straight now. He got on the old man sweater. He got an afro. Somebody told him he looked good with hair. That's what happened. And they lied to him. Mickey, you know I'm your boy. I love you to death, man. Mickey, I love you to death, man. But the hair ain't working for you, brother. Whoever lied to you, bro. You know, you need to punch them in the face.
So we're going to, ladies decide. Which one y'all like, lady? Y'all like this right here? Y'all want this right here? Or do y'all want this, y'all want, no,
this,
right here.
Whatever y'all, this is.
There you go. Which one?
Whatever that is.
You know, Rob, I appreciate the affirmations, because anytime I get that level of hate from Rob, I know it's just appreciation mixed with envy. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. Rob, the fact that I can still fit into a slim sweater probably irks you to no end. But I tell you what, brother, I don't just wear this for me. I do it for you and your younger years. When I throw this out, it's for all the hair that you can't grow out.
I got more hair right now, Mickey. I got more hair on my back you got on top of your head.
Now, that is correct. I believe you.
Hey, Mickey, well, the answers are starting to come in. Redbone say both pictures is great, brother.
Thank you.
he going to cash app you in a few minutes, Redbone.
Actually,
you know, you see his other hand, he down there thumbing like a mug, like, look, you know, get this up.
I got both phones going, too.
Right. So, Mickey, man, tell us about the video, man. Tell us about the video. What made you put this together?
Now, did the young Mickey write this, or did the old Mickey write this?
Man, well, of course, man. Y'all got more backstory on me than most of Muskegon, man. And I honestly will say, before we get into that, PA, that I miss being able to build collectively together, man, in the physical, man. You know, even with you having to do the Florida thing, man, when you were able to get back home and we just able to do the show as a team, it was just that much more impactful, and the community always appreciated it that much more. So I miss this, first of all. When we're talking about the video, man, it's a beautiful story behind that video, and it's funny you should say that like that, Rob, because that video is newer than the song. The song, actually, we did that song about 2 years before we ever saw a Judas and the Black Messiah trailer. Shout out to Shaka King and all the producers and workers on that movie. A phenomenal movie, but the song is called The Get Back, produced by my guy, my man's Pots and Pans, PL12, the legendary PL12, who's getting crazy placements. I mean, you talk about any coast in the U.S., he's getting spins. He's on industry artist projects right now that's just dropping, debuting on number 8 at iTunes. Phenomenal guy, and he's right here from our own backyard, man. So PL12 and I have been doing this 2009, 2010, and PL12 would always just send me folders, man. Make me, I love, just let me know what you like, right? And I get hold of this beat, and generally speaking, when PL12 names a beat, that's what you call the song. Like, he's thought about it already. You don't need to make your own name for the song. And so The Get Back, the title is actually the name of the track that PL12 produced. And the vibe for it, man, it was just the times that we were in, running the mentoring organization and really being mindful of the image of Black men in the media, image of how we present ourselves, period, right? And versus how the world media would portray us. And working with Comedic Kings, we were really going hard on protecting our images. And the song was done already. It just was sitting on a hard drive, to be honest. And I really didn't have any other plans for it. And a good friend of mine at the time showed me the trailer. And I was like, you know, they was like, man, you're going to love this. This is, you know, Black Panther stuff. And I saw the trailer and I felt some type of way because of the mind state I was in, PA. Okay. It was like the trailer, you know, it's limited. It's clips, right? And so I'm like, oh, and I know the story of Fred Hampton and William O'Neill. So it was like, oh, great. Another story of Black people betraying Black people. You know what I'm saying? And I felt some type of way because I was so focused on just building each other up. I couldn't even appreciate the trailer. And it rolled around with me for about a week. And I was going through a hard drive, listening to some tracks, and The Get Back was in queue. And I had just seen that trailer like a week earlier. And it was like, boom, that's it. That's it. Wow. Like, that song is meant for that soundtrack, if nothing else. And so I made some calls and I was like, yo, let's try to get this song on the soundtrack. So I sent it to my big bro, JC. I was like, who you? He said, I know some folks, and he tried to do some shopping, but obviously soundtracks aren't done weeks before the movies come right. out. So that Mickey Wallace optimism didn't quite make it through on that. But as life would have it, man, these conditions aren't new, right? We know they've been going on since our great grandparents, you know, touched down here. And so it was an opportunity to still share not only my gift, but my brother PL12 gift, my brother William Bass as an engineer. It was an opportunity to share his gift. My good brother Brett Kerr as video editor and engineer, it was an opportunity to share his gift. So it's not just Mickey Wallace you hear. I never want to do things by myself, man. We don't never do nothing by ourselves. So it was just an opportunity to lift up people, raise awareness, and help tie to some dope visuals, man. So that's the real story behind the Get Back. Was the song was done about 2 years before we ever saw that. And when we saw it, it was serendipitous. Like, let's wow. tie this to this. And boom, the Get Back was reborn, if you will.
Well, Uncle John called it right. Uncle John said, Mickey Wallace is a superstar. The talent that comes out of the ski is nothing short of phenomenal.
Man, JC, yeah. Hey, y'all about to get a whole nother Mickey Wallace. Bring the other Mickey Wallace back on with the suit on. Hold on. And JC on here, then that's the picture that got to stay there while I'm talking, man.
Well, we about to run, when we come back, we're about to run to the video.
Okay.
And come back, we want to talk to you a little bit more and see what you've been up to, talk about the Kings and see what's happening with Mickey Wallace. You know, women want to know. You know, I mean, ladies want to know.
Don't do that.
Yeah, they want to know. We got to find out, though. You know what I mean? They want to know. They want to know, is it true? They just want to know, is it true?
Is he still crazy? That's what they want to know.
No. We'll
no, we hold on, Rob. Just hold on to it.
We get off out the video.
Yeah.
What they want to know.
They want to know. Check it out. It's the premiere. I'll let you set it up, Mickey.
No doubt. Muskegon, West Michigan. Grand Rapids Worldwide. If you're tuned in right now online, however you're joining us on 103.7 The Beat, this, what you about to witness, is history in the making. Inspired by the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, we bring you, as a compliment from PL12, Brett Kurt, and William Bass, a.k.a. Unknown, I, Mickey Wallace, give you the Get Back.
Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton of the Illinois Black Panther Party.
The harder you work, the harder it is to surrender.
Got the truth to tell.
It's time we all dig in and take care of our own backyard first, you know what I mean? Stand up for what's yours or fall for anything. This class is in session. Let's go. I am seated on this gold throne, but y'all see a wicked chair. Scepter in my right hand, y'all say a right for there. Spear in my left hand, I'm prepared to take it there. Force fed us to seek, so who the fools play unfair? Black beret tip here, telling you it ain't a game. Better men of black shirt, bet you they say we a gang. Common sense and currency, focusing on making change. We don't hate others, man, we love black everything. Rep it till the earth burn, put him in the black urn. Soldiers putting in work, getting dirty like them earthworms. Teach you when we reach them, when we beat them, shoot you gon' learn. Looking for a leader, get in line, yeah, your turn. For looking for handouts, show them how to hand up. Procrastinators laying down, tell them clowns stand up. See if they don't, will them out the back door. Let them know a step and fetch, it never stops the whole show. They say we getting militant, this for who's feeling it. They told us that they will kill us. When we represent, nobody wanna see us rise up. Now we hate ourselves, labeled us degenerates. Then pack us in the cell, but we can't blame it all on them. Even though the past affected now, talking to my people with one question, what we gon' do now? We afforded knowledge and money and power. It's time to own these liquor stores. We frequent on the hour. Yeah, it's bad where we at. Hella trash where we at. In the crib, yeah, we keep a clean lap where we at. Sending foes on the Chevy with that bang in the back. Repeat the cycle when we raise little man's round that stop. Damn, there's a fetus trying hard to delete us. We embody every image that this enemy can feed us. These rights that they read us ain't right when they read us. Now they pay a couple sambos right when they need us. Got us right where they need us at.
right, but they beat us to the point that we hate our own skin. What we see is what we love, how they greet us as they own. When they see us, we condone, carry on, shit is wrong. How they treat us on the news, showing fools and our images egregious. Took a lot of stripes, I'm like, motherfucker, beat us, cause we turning into fools at the back and in the preachers. Incompleted when we die now, cause they say it's white Jesus. Hold up. Y'all was with me up to that line. Condition white Jesus, get you killed by your own kind. It's words to my bone spine. Back straight, strong mind. I don't give in to the pressure. Y'all keep the compromise. I'm here to liberate your minds. Big boy, three stacks. Take the knowledge, break it down. Build it up and give it back. With it if you feel it. Stand and make a joyful noise. Use outcast it. That means now you have a voice. If that cost, I'm trying to reach abroad with these bars. Penitentiary confined. Hit my words through them bars. Every young and riding heavy. Play these words and they cause. Let it rain from every hamlet in the hills to the mall. For the soul of every more and WDB the board. Every book that see that took a stand to get us to a saw. Every memory of enemies of Wallace and Shakur. Every soldier K.A. haters fighting for us through the stars. M. Garb.
Hey, I can't do that, man.
Come on, man.
It was all right.
Man, you see those images up there, bro?
He didn't put those images there.
Man, come on, bro. Come on. I didn't know they did that in Iran.
I didn't know he could even watch Judas and the Black Messiah.
No, come on, bro. I don't be hating on him that much, man. Mickey, talk to me, Mickey. So no, in Iran. In Iran, they was protesting for George Floyd.
Man, so I mean, and obviously, man, we have lost so many Black lives to racial injustice, right? I mean, names that we will never know, on top of names that have turned into hashtags, and so, you know, George Floyd's murder was one of those catapulting moments worldwide to where it was undeniable that these injustices exist on a global level. But I think it's so easy for us to get here in the States to forget that we're exposed to a very particular vein of media, of news coverage.
Right.
And so it's always interesting to see how other countries view, you know, our national happenings, how they publicize the news. And so I mean, we everywhere. We're not, Black people aren't a minority by any means.
It's exactly.
That's a construct of white supremacy and racism to make you feel inferior. So when you look at pigmented peoples, you're the majority worldwide. So those injustices don't just hit here in America. They hit everywhere. And so when you're talking about oppressing people, man, and killing people and genocide, at some point, other people start to realize, hey, when they done with them, they might move over to us. So we better jump in on this and help out while we can. And so, yeah, man, across the globe, you know, that was definitely one murder that helped to catapult the level of awareness into the stratosphere globally, man. And
wow,
it's always been there for us. You know, we don't get to turn off being Black, man. So it's always been there, but it's good to see that level of awareness. And now it's like, what do we do with that? You know, right. We have a responsibility.
When you writing, are you freestyling it and you record it, or do you sit down with a pen and paper and write down raps, the lyrics?
Just honestly, it's I really leave room for that inspiration. I'll comment it on this way, PA. I don't really, y'all gonna trip on me. Rob, don't say nothing. All right, just listen. Okay.
All right.
I don't really care to be a rapper, man. I never really liked. What I like whenever I'm on stage, whenever I'm rapping, is the ability to connect with people. that's what I always found passionate about it. When I was on stage performing, that was something, a means to an end. I had those opportunities to continue that life. That's not what I wanted. I found that my passion was building people, connecting people, and music was a way to do that. Do raps was a way to do that. I would prefer to do a lecture. I prefer to do a seminar. You know what I'm saying? I prefer to be on a panel and have ongoing discussion and developing curriculum on how to educate us out of these, you know, these mental obstacles that have been placed on us. So when it comes down to how do I do the music, I really just look at how do I want to connect to people? How do I want to help tell somebody else's story? Because I'm pretty good with words, and there's a lot of us that aren't, but that relate to exactly how I feel too, and I want to help speak for them. So it sometimes, man, I'll be having a conversation with something like us, and Rob will say something. I'm like, yo, that's dope. I want to put that in there. You know, I want to use, now, I mean, I don't really use much from Rob, obviously. it's really an amalgamation, man, of just opportunities that go into my works. I don't really sit down and write one through all the way. It might come to me over days. I might start with the last verse. I might start with a chorus.
Really?
That song, you'll notice, didn't have a chorus. It never was meant to have a chorus. That's straight through because it was the ideology behind it, PA, of there's no break in this. A chorus means you're taking a break from the verse. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get y'all to buy back in and rally the troops with a cool, with a catchy chorus.
Right.
Ain't no chorus to this movement, man. This is all showtime. The revolution is being televised. So that's why that song don't have a chorus, to give you more psychology behind how I write.
Well, Miramore said that part. Uncle John said, I remember him vividly the first time I saw him on stage. He might not like the stage, but the stage sure likes him. That, there you go. That's real. I'm gonna switch gears, man. And this broadcast is Aaron and Ben Harbor. I'm in Orlando right now. It's Aaron in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're in Muskegon, Michigan. All three of these communities has been hit with gang violence.
Yeah.
But you come from the Mason end. You had a long time feud with the Wood Street area, guys from Wood Street, feuding for a while. And I remember you guys coming together. I remember we was able to bring you guys together at the radio station. And it was kind of hard because you lost some loved ones in this battle. But you put it all down. You put it all to the side. And I saw you guys shake hands. And really, since that time, it hasn't been any rival murders, homicide between the Mason and Wood Street. What happened? And how did all this happen that you guys put that feud aside? Because here in Orlando, we're getting bloodshed. We're getting kids. Kids are now becoming victims. Babies are becoming victims. And all of America, you've seen this issue. But how did you guys do it, man?
That's a good question, PA. There's no one way to answer that because there's no one size that fits off everybody. You know, I look at my upbringing, and not only did I grow up on, you know, right off 6th Street in Monroe, but I grew up on the corner of Irwin and Pine. You know what I'm saying? I grew up off of Reynolds, off of Summit. You know what I'm saying? I was a transient kid. So I was fortunate to have not only family, but friends and associates from all around the city. You know, and so I didn't really face a lot of the same societal ills that my peers did, who were more locked into a neighborhood. I was able to maneuver a little differently. And I think that once that veil of segregation came down on a community level to realize we don't own nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not Mr. Mason. You know, it ain't named after me. You know, once we realize, once community members realize that the community is the people, not the street, it fosters a greater sense of unity to where we can accomplish more together. And I love that about this city, man, is that it's small enough, yet it's large enough to, one, implement change more readily, and two, show other cities, if you implement changes like these, the outcomes, the measurable outcomes that you can attain. And so when it come down to that, it's really about us as Black men, I believe, having a sense of purpose, having a sense of direction. We look at a lot of the statistics, and whether we like it or not, we're all statistics. It's all data on all of us that can be measured. You know, ain't no one size fits all. But when you look at the literacy levels, and you see how that factors into the incarceration rate. When you look at the poverty levels, and you see how that, you know, again, just data, you start to realize, man, that we didn't start it, but we do have a part to play in overcoming it, and we can't. It's there are things within our own control, and if we don't want to lose any more of our oncoming generation to senseless acts of violence, we have to put some sense in it, and it starts with us. I mean, I don't care if you're 20, or you 30, or you 50, or you 90. You got some sense, you're not responsible to go teach one. And I think that was a big part of being able to utilize the radio station and having it as a hub for the entire community, was that it's like a neutral place. You know, it's like a barbershop. You know what I'm saying? You just don't start certain things in certain areas. And being able to have and build on that work that has went into 103.7 The Beat, the work that you all have done, the work that all the members of our community have put down, I think that gave people of any neighborhood a sense of foundation to build from. That's how I answered it.
I remember before it all happened, you know, we had to meet with you guys separately because there was a lot of tension. And I remember, vividly remember when we bought one of the rivals, that time with rivals, and took, is going to bring them in the room because we wanted to bury this thing behind the scenes before we went on radio. Mm-hmm. And I remember how it was hard for you because you believed that this person had killed somebody that you knew, that you loved. But I watched you and other people watched you. And because you were able to forgive, I think that brought a lot of healing to our community. And because there was going to be some more bloodshed. And I just want to commend you, man, because that was a bold, that, and I know, you know, me, we was working behind, we know there was a lot of hatred between these two different groups, man. And because you were able to put all that to the side, man, you put our community in a better situation, man. Because when you was able to forgive, the other guys were able to forgive, because the one murder you were talking about was still fresh. There was still the ongoing investigation going on. And it did something to my heart. And I'm trying to get that picture up on the screen, because since that time, I mean, I don't know what's going on behind the scene, brother, but I didn't know since that time, you know, we haven't had the violence that we had.
Yeah, I won't dare take any credit for that, man. Like, you know, I think I know the particular picture you're talking about. I don't even think I was in that picture.
You wasn't in this picture, but you were part of this movement. You were part of this movement.
And again, that's another, and again, one of my things was, you know, I love being behind the scene, you know, and I love trying to help shape it from a different angle, because I understand my role. And I know sometimes when a brother like myself, you know, takes the lead, it's kind of looked at as that. I don't ever want to be that, because it's about each one of these brothers. It's about their families. It's about the communities. It's about their offspring and their futures. You know what I'm saying? And so while I may be one of the more articulate ones, you know, some of these brothers got stories, you know, that I couldn't even begin to tell you that I can identify with, you know, just because of the economic hardships that they were birthed into. And we realize we are the products of systemic racism, right? We're part of ongoing feuds and conflicts in these areas that are by design. And so when you look at a picture like this of brothers who under any other circumstances would come together and unify and build together, you got to ask yourself, what's keeping these brothers from being apart? It ain't because they don't want futures for themselves. It ain't because they don't want futures for them kids, for their kids. They don't want good health care and equitable job opportunities and access to great education. You're telling me that group don't want that? So we have to really look at it in that vein of, that's a symptom to a larger problem. And until we can get there, we gonna keep dealing with the symptoms and making it look like it's us that's perpetrating this thing. And that's when we saw we need more diversity work, we need more equity. Well, you need more Black work, because true diversity and true equity work comes with a changing of the mind state of the people in power. I'd rather have a group full of white men that's culturally intelligent, making informed decisions to actually lift up the community, than to have five Black people mixed into that white group just because it looks diverse and there's no real work being done. And that's what that represents to me, man. It's not me leading the charge by any means ever. It's me just, let's say it like this. You know what I'm saying? What if we put it like this? And you got to think, it's some brothers that rather just punch you in the face to get their point across, right? Yeah. We need them too. You know what I'm saying? But facts, you know what I'm saying? It, you know? But it really comes down to, man, articulating a vision and really having a purpose for ourselves. And, you know, we are products of this, man. Sometimes it's 30, and we 30 before we start to identify our purpose. And so I'm glad that these brothers have seized that opportunity through all of their hardships, you know, to continue to develop themselves. So that's what I have to say about that.
You know, and I know me and, you know, I know I joke with you a lot. Me and you joke a lot, Mickey, but, you know, I mean what I say when I said to you the other day or last week, whenever it was, that, you know, it's y'all time now. You know, me and PA, we didn't walk miles protesting, fighting, arguing, and everything else, you know, and I'm glad to see, you know, how far you've come. Not just you. I'm glad to see the Samantha Fergusons.
No doubt.
The Tamar Porter.
Yeah. Indeed.
The
Gemini
the poet. The Sanfords. The what's the young lady just got a doctorate, Paul?
Patrice Johnson.
Lachey. Black Wall Street. You know, I'm glad to see you younger people, because, you know, what do they always say? The older people are, you know, they get to a certain part, they not the soldiers no more. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are the soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fred Hampton was 21 years old when they assassinated him. Yeah. You know, look how old Martin Luther King was when they assassinated him. Yeah. The only reason why Malcolm lived so long, because he did what, 10 years in prison, but they assassinated him.
Yeah. Big Rob, I will say that to that point, man, is that, and I saw one of the comments come up, it's that understanding of the neededness of our elders. Because I think so many times the society values the I, me, you old, get out the way. And we forget that you've seen more suns and moons than I have, brother. And so I got something to learn if I can first learn to slow down and listen, you know, really pay attention to that wisdom, you know. And what you and PA bring, you know, a lot of that was osmosis, man. It wasn't. PA, you and I have had our talks. Rob, you and I have had our talks. But a lot of what I pulled from y'all was just being around. You know what I'm saying? There were some great direct conversations, but being able to watch, you know what I'm saying? To be able to see if you lining up with what you're doing, if you serving how you say you serve. I know what you did. You know what I'm saying? But are you continuing in the capacity that you... I'm not expecting you to grow your hair back out, Rob, and hit the street with the picket signs. I'm expecting you to be the OG that you are now, and in part, because I don't want to move you out of the way. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get in these groups and get used and misused when I could have set up under some wisdom. So I really think that as far as my group goes, us millennials, that we can take that added caution to slow up and pay attention. And even with our elders that like to talk a little more, just kind of hear that out, hear them stories and listen for the value of those stories. Because a lot of business, a lot of work, a lot of political work, isn't done in those arenas. It's done through storytelling, through sharing those after hour discussions and what have you. And you learn people through that, of who you want to work with. And so that's what I value about that, man. Yeah, them brothers was young, 21, 35, different ages, but I want to see 60. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know how to do that, but I know y'all there, so y'all can probably hit me to that, you know, on how not to do
it. You know, and you know what's so funny about what you said, Mickey, you know, I love my children. I love to brag on, you know, but this ain't a bragging moment for my child. But my child just talked to PA. Mm-hmm. He had just received his master's degree. Mm-hmm. And it was his birthday, his 27th birthday. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to call PA. PA had gave him a gift. And he told PA on the phone, I was sitting over there to the side with his mother and his 17-year-old brother. And he told PA, just being around y'all, being able to see. You remember that PA? PA could probably tell you better exactly what he said. Because I started to choke up, you know.
Like right now?
Yeah, like I'm doing now. So, Paul, if you can kind of finish this story.
Hey, bro, I was getting there too because, you know, shout out to Pee Wee who just got his master's degree. Indeed. To use that football scholarship from Muskegon to elevate. Got a master's degree. But what he said, just being around us, and he said, I didn't realize this, but your company was the first company that I seen all black employees. Yep. Where you had women in power, men in power, and you gave people chances.
No doubt.
And that resonated, you know, with him even to today. I didn't think about it. It was just a lifestyle. But yeah, it's good to know those things, man. It's good to know you have played your part and played your role. And we still are trying to play our role as OGs right now.
Hey, that's
help brothers like you.
Yeah. It's an excellent song, Mickey. I give you that. It's an excellent video treatment. I give you that. You know, it's, you know, I don't know a time where I don't know you don't do good work.
Yeah.
You know, you put your good work in everything you go. You do. I've seen it. I've seen it behind the scenes. I've seen it in front of the scenes. I've seen you trip. I've seen you fall. I've seen you get yourself back up, dust yourself back off, you know. And, you know, I salute you young people.
Yeah.
You know, for real, because if it wasn't for y'all, when we can't move no more, when we can't talk no more, when we're possibly in the dirt, it's y'all that's got to keep that fight going. It's y'all that's got to keep that mindset that I am better than this. You know, my children are better than this. You know, look at where I come from to where my children are. If I was able to do it, I know a Mickey Wallace could do it. And in the times we had private conversations and you asked me the struggles of it all. Mm-hmm. You could take that and teach somebody else, even with me not being here, to help teach that.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
You know, so with you guys doing what y'all doing, man, y'all keep encouraged. Y'all keep, you know, fighting the fight. If your legs get a little weak, you know, shake that off. Strengthen them up. You a man at the end of the day. First, you a man first.
First.
And on top of that, you a black man. So you get weak, just original. Straight up. You know,
no doubt. But
getting back to the jokes, I did all the serious stuff. I cried a little bit.
Hey, it seemed
like you finished my book I gave you, brother. Did you finish my book?
Quit yelling in the mic, man. We hear you. Everybody hear you, man. PA doing mixes all the time. I've been seeing PA touch the board 12 times.
Oh, he was sending out Texas.
No, you be hitting red all the time on the he's doing the yellow. We know you passionate, Rob.
That's
real. I appreciate that, Rob, because, you know, I ain't going to elaborate. I just appreciate it. You know, we could definitely build each other up all night on this, and I would love doing it. But
no, it's not. That's not
what I'm saying is that I appreciate that. It's not wasted. You know, we've had our disagreements, and that's what I love about being under some real OGs is that you can get that information and wisdom if you choose to receive it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going to give it how it needs to be given. But a student can't receive nothing until a student ready. So, Rob, I just appreciate you and PA, man, for operating the way that y'all got to operate, man.
Make you a couple more questions for you. And we don't went over. We over.
Yeah, we went over, man.
We went over, bro. I got to do some editing for TV, but that's okay. I got to do some editing for TV. That's okay. But
we're going to cut all Rob parts out.
The question for you, man, has it been hard for you to forgive people who have hurt you? And what's that process been like?
That's a loaded question. That's a therapy question right there.
I mean, I know it's therapy because we need that right now. Because
yeah,
we need this. I mean, all of us on this screen has been hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. PA is that it's been more difficult to forgive myself than it has been to forgive other people. I say that in the vein of I used to see myself through other people's lenses. even as an adult. And that stemmed from a great sense of childhood trauma and various capacities that, you know, I don't pay y'all to talk about. So I ain't gonna get into that. But what I did realize was that anything that I would hold on to or harbor wasn't about that person that I felt perpetrated that against me, right? You might have did it. You might have cussed me out, slapped me, whatever. Yeah, you did that. But it went deeper than that. If I held on to a sense of hate for you or a sense of unforgiveness, it stemmed from some things that I hadn't forgiven myself for, some things in my past that I didn't feel worthy of forgiveness for. And so it was easier then to hold somebody else accountable for how I was feeling versus to own that, rationalize that, and regardless of who felt what, Mickey, to be able to stand up tall and say, I'm good enough for whatever comes my way. Because a lot of it came through senses of worthlessness that we're born into. It's hard to be born into poverty and feel worthwhile. It's hard to have, you know, these structures that we have and still feel a great sense of self-worth. It's hard to see yourself murdered on TV every day and still feel a sense of self-worth and value. It's easier to hate each other because it's perpetrated in the media so often that that's commonplace. So if a person of a different hue, for instance, I know we're not talking just black and white, but I'm talking about self-valuation, okay?
Right.
That's the crux of this, is that once I learn to forgive myself, not that, oh, I hurt somebody and I forgive myself, but to actually do the work that comes along with making the change of being able to say, I forgive myself and I won't do that again. I'm smarter, I'm better, I'm wiser. That take years, man. Y'all hearing Mickey Wallace 4-5 years in therapy. You know what I'm saying? You hearing Mickey Wallace humbled by some real life experience. You hearing Mickey Wallace who's experienced homelessness. You hearing Mickey Wallace who's a divorced father. You hearing Mickey Wallace who a transient kid, 3 different elementaries, 2 different middle schools, 3 different high schools. You know what I'm saying? You hearing everything that went into that and the work that it's taken to get through that. And I'm nowhere where I think I should be. And look, my dad, man, you better than I was. And I'm not comparing myself to you. I love you. And I'm glad our relationship is better. But I need to be better than the Mickey from last month and last year. So when I can't forgive somebody for something, I got to go inside, man. Because ain't nothing that person can give me to make me feel any better. It got to come from me. That's how I'm going to answer that.
Well, and I didn't expect you to be transparent. I knew about, you know, therapy and all that. I didn't expect you to say that, but I appreciate
you. Hey, man, we got to say that in front of each other, man. We can't feel like it's crazy talk, man. Like, go to therapy, get some counseling, brothers, sisters, single moms.
How has therapy helped you in the past 10 years?
Woo! Look here. One. Woo! How much time we
got? Forget time now. Forget time. You know what I mean?
You know what, PA? Therapy has allowed me to be vulnerable in a capacity to where I was not comfortable feeling vulnerable. There's some skeletons in Mickey Wallace's closet that to my closest friends, I'm not going to divulge. And if I can't do it in that circle, how can I do the real work of overcoming it so it doesn't create a bad seed for my offspring or my future relationships? You know what I'm saying? Or the community that I want to help build. If I'm holding on to that stuff, everything that I do is going to have a piece of that in it. If I pour you a drink of water out of a glass that just had poison in it, you going to drink it? Probably not. I got to do away with that whole thing, man. So that's what therapy has been helping me do, is to properly assess the things that are in my mind. So I know it's not me being crazy. It's not, oh, man, I'm just tripping. I'm crazy. Other people going through worse than this. Yeah, people might be going through worse than this, but this is your worst. This is Mickey Wallace's worst, and Mickey Wallace got to deal with that. Else he ain't going to be a good Mickey Wallace for nobody, including himself. So therapy has allowed me to speak through those barriers. It has allowed me to not only rationalize them, PA and Rob, but it has allowed me to better identify them. When you can identify your enemy, you know how to fight then. Before, we and our brothers and sisters, we in our head. My mama was like that. My dad, we everywhere can't pinpoint the problem. So you never identify it. And what we do, we work more,
yeah.
Focus on the kids. We take vacations, go on shopping sprees, all of these things to offset the work that we inevitably have to keep coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get past that work, man. You can't get married and stop. You can't get married and think you just finna stop being a loose man. You know what I'm saying? Mary don't fix that. You gotta come with you. You know what I'm saying? You think, oh, I got kids now, I'm responsible. No, that ain't how that work. Nah. You might get up a little faster, but you gotta come with some things.
Yes.
And a lot of us made those decisions, PA, off of a lack of information, based off what we had at the time to deal with. And we gotta learn how to forgive ourselves for not knowing and being able to move forward with that. That's what therapy been doing for me, man.
Wow. Man, we can talk for a while. We got to get you back. I know you work for Health West. I know you're doing your best to try to get more African-Americans to seek mental health treatment. And I know that's been important for all of us. I definitely have gotten counseling, and it's made me a better person. So thank you, Mickey. We got to roll, man. We got to go. I went above. I told you 15 minutes. We have 50 minutes.
That's wild, man. Always talking over everybody, man.
Bro, I ain't talking over nobody, brother. You can go on and put your lipsticks and chap back on now. And go on and do what you usually
do.
You
know I had to get the platform. He was itching. He was itching.
I bet you if he stand up, he got his chaps on right now. He just put on the top.
Are you coming back to Facebook? Are you coming back to Facebook? Huh?
What? You do this every time we talk.
Are you on there? You just have a different name.
I just updated my LinkedIn account. That's my social media presence right now. honestly, look at it like here's my final say on social media, PA. Okay. I took away from my mental health. I took away from my balance. You know, when I was at the radio station, man, I was managing 4-5 accounts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was doing a lot, and I didn't really appreciate the energy that went into that. You know what I'm saying? That's a gig by itself. And so being able to you put me out there, man. See what you did? What I mean by that, PA, is
like, who you hiding from? Who you running from?
he running from some seeds he left in Africa.
I can't stand y'all. And I love
you. Hey, Mickey, have you did the ancestry DNA yet?
I did. I am.
I'm not talking about going through ancestry.com.
I'm Fula from Guinea-Bissau.
Not the African ancestry one. I'm talking about the ancestry.com. We're going to pay for yours so you can get yours done.
So they can connect with you.
Hey, I know y'all can't see it. I got red hair, brown hair in my beard. I'm kind of scared to do that report, man. I know I'm about to come back all over this globe. Here's my last cap for social media. I really just want to be intentional with it. It's cool to keep connected. But my thing is, you know, you got my number. You know, if you reach out and you close, I try to really define what I give away these days. You know, it's so tempting to share so much on social media. And if you don't have that restraint, it can be cumbersome. And so I dial back to really see what do I want to share? What is my message? It's cool to have some hashtags and whatnot, but how do I want to use that to impact? And so I'll be back in the vein of utilizing the music as that platform, but it won't be like a personal page.
Really. I know what it is, Mickey. Now, here's the real. Too much temptation in that inbox.
Dinner's ready. My mama calling. Ladies, don't call me. I stay with my mama. I don't have money.
That's what you call a big mama? Sugar mama? Big mama? Hot mama.
I'm an unemployed video gamer. I don't do much.
All right, Mickey, man. We love you, man.
I love y'all back, man. Hey, Keegan, West Michigan, worldwide. You locked in Orlando, Florida. Wherever you tuned in to this at, you are always in for a treat as long as you locked in at 103.7 The Beat, okay? Keep it locked. Get the podcast. Get the app. Lock it in on your web browser. Tune into it if you're local on the radio station. But make sure you stay in tune because this network does everything it can to broadcast positive Black news, not just locally, but globally, and to build up communities wherever listeners are. So I really appreciate this network for doing that. PA, you and Rob are phenomenal, and I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Mickey. You too, brother. Peace and blessings, man.